Saturday night at the movies. And it's kids' night. But this isn't a movie, this is Krishna. So, I see a number of young people here, and I'm going to ask you to take a vote. You have three choices. The pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, that's one choice. And if you like that one, you can raise your hand. Second one, the Shamantaka jewel. Ooh, the Shamantaka jewel. Krishna in Dwarka and the Shamantaka jewel. Krishna marries Jambavati and Satyabhama and the whole intrigue. Jambavan, he's involved. Krishna and Dwarka. That's choice number two. Choice number three, Krishna subdues the Kaliya serpent in Vrindavan. Choice number three. So you can vote too. You're young enough, you can vote. Your parents can't vote. No, behind you. In the striped shirt. Yeah, not that, yeah, you. You can vote, not the yellow shirt, he's thinking. Options one, two, and three. You can vote, you can abstain, that's okay. Three choices, and one abstention if you want. So the three choices are Dhruva Maharaj, the Shamantaka jewel, or Krishna subdues the Kaliya serpent.
That's number two.
That's the third one. First one is Dhruva, second is Shamantaka jewel, and the third one is Krishna subdues the Kaliya serpent. Now you want to vote for number two, huh? All right. You want to vote too, huh? Okay. Number one, Dhruva Maharaj. The story of Dhruva Maharaj. Who would like to hear that story? Okay. All right. Who would like to hear the Shamantaka jewel? Whoa. We don't even need to vote the rest of it. Shamantaka jewel wins. Okay. Well, it happens to be a really, really, really good presentation because I didn't do it, but the BBT did it, and it's got sound, and it's got lights and color. It's really, really good. But those of you that voted for Shamantaka jewel, now you're going to have a surprise quiz at the end. So you got to listen very carefully. You have a notebook, you can take notes. And I'll give you a clue of some of the questions that I'm going to ask at the end. How's that? A quiz that you know the questions before I even ask the questions. One of the questions is going to be, who is the daughter of Jambavan? What's her name? Don't say it. I'm going to ask it later, because you're going to find out during the Shamantaka jewel story. And then another question is, what's the name of the king who worshipped the sun god? That's another question. Don't say it. And then, like that, those kinds of really simple ones. Then I'll ask you some more complicated ones. First, simple ones. So you got to take good notes or have a good memory or ask your friend next to you who has a good memory.
Thank you. In ancient India, a king named Satyajit lived near Lord Krishna's magnificent city of Dwarka. He was a great devotee of the celestial sun god, Surya, who liked him because Satyajit would daily spend hours chanting sacred mantras in his honor and offering him fine gifts. The sun god's special benedictions are unlimited wealth and perfect health. Eager for such benedictions, Satyajit passed his days worshipping Suryadeva. One day, feeling intense affection for his devotee Satyajit, Suryadeva awarded him a magical jewel known as Shamantaka, never before seen in this world. The jewel had the amazing power to create 170 pounds of pure gold every day. What's more, it could ward off sickness and hunger for everyone who lived where it was worshipped. Satyajit was overjoyed to receive the gem. Bowing down out of deep gratitude, he said, "Oh, most bright and beautiful Suryadeva, knowing my heart, you have fulfilled my every desire." Full of conceit, Satyajit placed the dazzling gem on a chain, hung it around his neck, and strolled into Dwarka, arrogantly prancing by the grand palace of Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Residents of Dwarka, blinded by the jewel's effulgence, mistook Satyajit for the sun god. Some of them ran to Krishna's palace to tell the Lord that Suryadeva had come to pay him homage. At that time, Krishna was playing chess. They stood before him with folded palms and said, "O Lord Narayan, O lotus-eyed Govinda, please forgive us for this intrusion. We are here to announce that Suryadeva has come to see you. He is so bright with intense love for you that his rays are blinding us." Krishna smiled broadly to hear the innocent words of his devotees. "My dear friends," he said, "it is not the sun god, but King Satyajit who has come to Dwarka. His effulgence emanates from the jewel he's wearing. After Satyajit had passed by Krishna's palace, without even thinking of paying homage to the Lord, he rushed home to arrange for the Shamantaka jewel's installation on a special altar. Though he called many respectable holy men to preside over the ceremony, He was so completely engrossed in the thoughts of possessing the jewels that he forgot to invite Krishna to the ceremony to receive his blessings. Being a worshipper of the demigods, Satyajit has become too materialistic. Thus, sometime later, when Krishna asked him to give the jewel to Ugrasena, the Yadu king, Satyajit refused. Instead, he thought it wiser to worship the jewel himself, so he could get the 170 pounds of gold every day. One day, Satyajit's brother, Prasena, to show off his family's opulence, hung the jewel around his neck and rode off into the forest on horseback to hunt. As he rode here and there along the forest path, a big lion watched him from a rock high above the road. "Look at this man," the lion said to himself. "How pridefully he rides with this great shiny jewel resting on his swollen chest. But I am the king of this forest, the owner of everything, and the master of everyone. This jewel is meant for me," the lion roared, "to be worn around my kingly mane." Saying this, he leapt down upon Prasena and his horse, killed them both with his sharp teeth, and happily ran off with the Shamantaka jewel, leaving the two dead bodies on the road. Carrying the jewel in his mouth, the lion ran into a cave to enjoy the unique beauty of his trophy. As the jewel's splendid effulgence lit up the cave, the lion roared with great delight. Unfortunately, the lion had entered the cave of Jambavan, the king of the bears, who was a great devotee of Lord Rama and Chandra. Hearing the lion's roar within the entrance of his cave, Jambavan ran to protect his family. "Lion," Jambavan shouted, "why have you entered my home? And where did you get such a fine gem? From the blood on your paws, it appears you've killed someone to enjoy earthly splendor." The lion stood up infuriated. "How wrong you are, Jambavan. I am the king of this jungle, the owner of everything. Retreat into your cave or die." Jambavan replied, "You fool, don't you know everything belongs to the Supreme Lord? Get out of here, or I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj." At this, the lion sprang at Jambavan, his sharp claws bared, his fangs glistening. But as an elephant easily crushes an ant, Jambavan slapped the lion dead with his mighty fist. Jambavan carried the lion's dead body outside and left it on the mountainside. When he returned to his cave, he saw the Shamantaka jewel lying on the ground. Being a great devotee of the Lord, Jambavan did not see the valuable jewel as something he very much needed. So he gave it to his little son to play with. Meanwhile, back in Dwarka, Satrajit awaited the return of Prasena. When he did not return, Satrajit became deeply troubled. Unaware that his brother had been killed by a lion, he began to think that Krishna must have killed Prasena to take the jewel. This idea grew into a terrible rumor, which Satrajit spread like wildfire amongst all the residents of Dwarka.
You saw for yourself how Krishna asked me to give him the Shamantaka jewel. Because I refused, he must have stolen it from Prasena and killed him in the forest.
Satrajit spread this false rumor from house to house, until it finally reached the lotus-like ears of Lord Sri Krishna within the palace walls. Wanting to remove the stain on his reputation, Krishna took some of Dwarka's leading citizens with him and set out to retrace Prasena's path. In the forest, they soon found the mauled bodies of Prasena and his horse, and further on, the body of the lion on the mountainside. Everybody could plainly see that the lion had been killed by the hand of Jambalan. "Dear Lord," the citizens exclaimed, "just see how Prasena and his horse were killed by the jaws of a lion. How horrible it is that Satrajit has accused you of such a terrible crime. We, your closest servants, never believed it." The Lord replied, "I know your hearts, dear friends. Only fools would believe such a rumor. But I cannot allow my reputation to become sullied, and thus I must prove my innocence." "Come along," Krishna continued. "Since the jewel is no longer with Prasena or the lion, Jambavan must have it." Along with his subjects, Krishna stood at the mouth of the pitch black cave. "Dear Krishna," one citizen said, "this cave is very frightening. Its entrance is as dark as night, and it appears to have a very long tunnel within. Perhaps we should return home to get torches." Krishna stood before the mouth of the cave. "No, that won't be necessary. I will enter the tunnel alone. I don't think you should come with me. I don't want to endanger any of you. But I'm not afraid, and I'm sure I will find the Shamantaka jewel in this cave." "Oh Lord," the citizens replied, "please don't enter the cave alone. If any harm comes to you, we'll never forgive ourselves." "Don't worry," Krishna assured them. "I'll be back as soon as I recover the jewel." Proceeded along the vast tunnel, deeper and deeper into the cave, until at last he entered Jambavan's home. There he saw a small child sitting on the ground, playing with the Shamantaka jewel. The child's nurse thought Krishna was a thief and cried out in fear. Upon hearing her cry, Jambavan, the strongest of the strong, ran toward the Lord. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna. But because he was extremely angry, he could not recognize his master. Thinking the Lord to be an ordinary man, Jambavan challenged Krishna to a fight. And the Lord heartily accepted, wanting to enjoy a good tussle with his devotee. They fought furiously, like two opposing vultures. For 12 long days and nights, the residents of Dwarka waited outside the cave for Krishna to return. Then, fearing the worst, they returned to Dwarka with heavy hearts to inform King Ugrasena of all that had happened. Deep inside the cave, the battle between Krishna and Jambavan raged on. First, the two combatants struck each other with huge metal clubs. Then they began to hurl boulders at each other. Next, they took massive tree trunks and used those as clubs. Finally, they began striking each other with their fists, each blow sounding like the crack of thunder. The fighting went on day and night for 28 days. At last, Jambavan's muscles began to weaken from the powerful pummeling of Lord Krishna's fists, and his strength began to falter. Greatly astonished, Jambavan finally spoke. "My dear Lord, I can now understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, fame, wisdom, and renunciation. You are the same Supreme Person whom I worship as Lord Ramachandra. No one else has such immeasurable strength to defeat me like this." Lord Krishna was satisfied by the submissive praise of Jambavan. And to mitigate his pain, the Lord began to gently rub his lotus palms all over Jambavan's body. At once, Jambavan felt complete relief from the pain and fatigue of the great battle. Then the Lord spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion, his grave voice deeply resounding like a cloud. "My dear King Jambavan, you, not the lion, are the true king of the jungle. O Lord of the bears,
It is for the Shamantaka jewel that I have come to your cave. Since the disappearance of this jewel, fools have defamed me. Please, turn the jewel over to me now. Understanding the whole situation, Jambavan immediately placed the magnificent jewel around the Lord's neck with great devotion. He also offered his beautiful maiden daughter, Jambavati, to join Krishna as his wife. Both the Shamantaka jewel and Jambavati, Krishna happily married her within the mountain cave. Earlier, when the citizens had returned from the forest without Krishna, the Lord's family had plunged into an ocean of sorrow, and they had cursed Satyajit as the cause of Krishna's disappearance. They decided to pray to the demigoddess Durga for Krishna's safe return. And as soon as they had finished their prayers, the goddess promised to grant their request. Just then, Lord Krishna appeared before them with his new wife on his arm and a brilliant Shamantaka jewel around his neck. Overjoyed, the residents of Dwarka at once prepared to celebrate the return of their lord. Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit to the royal assembly, and in the presence of King Ugrasena, announced the recovery of the jewel. Then, he formally presented the jewel to Satyajit. Hanging his head in shame, Satyajit took the gem and returned home. The grievous offense he had committed against Krishna, Satyajit worried about possible conflict with the Lord's mighty devotees. Then he thought, how can I cleanse myself of my sin, and how may Lord Krishna become satisfied with me? What can I do to regain my good fortune and avoid being cursed for my offensive and foolish, miserly behavior? I know. I shall give Lord Krishna, my daughter, Satyabhama, the jewel of all women, along with the Shamantaka jewel. Hoping to thus pacify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyajit arranged the marriage ceremony of Krishna and his beautiful daughter, Satyabhama, and the Lord married her in proper religious fashion. Being pleased with Satyajit, Lord Krishna said, it is better to let the Shamantaka jewel remain in the temple as you have kept it. In this way, since the jewel's presence in the city guarantees the absence of famine and other disturbances, every one of us will benefit. Krishna knew that in his heart, Satyajit had no real desire to give the jewel away, and so, having already acquired Satyajit's greatest treasure,
the pure, gem-like Satyabhama, Krishna was happy to let Satyajit keep the Shamantaka jewel. It is said that anyone who hears the narration of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, such as the story of the Shamantaka jewel, or describes these pastimes, or even simply remembers them, is freed from all reactions to impious activities and attains the highest state of perfect peace.
To have our quiz. But you can't participate unless you're under 17. So we have to let the children respond. And this one child is responding before we even ask questions. Something that I forgot to do at the very beginning was to ask you to take note of what lessons you learned. So that's the first question. And there's not a right or a wrong answer. What are the lessons from the Shamantaka jewel story did you learn?
Lessons, I think, is that we should not be attached, because the Satyajit was attached to anything which is material. Because Satyajit was attached to the Shamantaka jewel, which was material, because he wanted everything for himself. So it caused his downfall at the end.
Okay. Anything different? Okay. Handle the mic. Speak slowly and clearly so everyone can hear you.
Also, you should never become angry because it can make you blind, and so you can't understand if you can't understand.
Who's the example of someone that became angry and became blinded?
Jambavan.
Very good. We're going to expand on that a little bit. Right next to you, she's got a
When it's left.
One
of the lessons that I learned is that you should not be greedy, because Satyajit was greedy for the 170 pounds of gold.
And so what happened
to me? He did some foolish things. Yeah. He accused the Lord.
Okay. I see your hand up in here. Would you like to volunteer something? Can you speak right into the microphone? What lesson did you learn?
I think one of those lessons was that when Satyajit got attached to the Shamantaka jewel, I think that means I think he got attached to the sense objects.
Yeah. That sounds a little bit like what we heard over here. Attached makes it a problem. Attached to material things makes a problem. This poor piece is on the other side of the chair. Yeah, I think it's helpful. Okay. So, what lesson did you learn from this?
I learned that they're like all good jewels, or any good jewels you find, should directly go to the kings. Like what Krishna was trying to explain to King Satyajit, that since he had the jewel, he should give it to King Ugrasena.
Yeah. But Satyajit couldn't let go of that. Any other lessons? Good one. Glad you caught that one. How about over on this side?
Here.
Okay.
One lesson that I learned was that you shouldn't give everything to yourself. You should also share. So what Krishna said to put the Shyamantaka jewel was also right, because then everyone who took darshan in the temple could also get 170 pounds of gold every day.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. Now I'm going to ask some other questions. And I think the way that I'll do it is, I'll go here and ask you, well, it tells right away. The king who worshipped the sun god, his name was King Satrajit. Where did Satrajit live? Where did he live?
Near Dwarka.
Because there you can see Dwarka in the background, and he's near Dwarka. There. I can see, but you gotta hang on here. You're very enthusiastic, which is nice. But wait till I ask the question, then you can put your hand up. I wouldn't make a very good school teacher. The way that he worshipped Surya, the sun god, was, what did he do for worshipping the sun god? Sacred mantras, and what else did he do?
Gave him fine gifts.
Yeah, he was offering gifts. And then what happened? Who would like to say what happened? You're very enthusiastic to say something. Give this young man the microphone.
Then
what happened?
Then when Suradev was happy to see his devotee worship him so much that he gave him the Shyamantaka jewel.
And what did the Shyamantaka jewel, what does worship of the Shyamantaka jewel do? Two things. Just one of the two things.
It can give you 170 pounds of gold.
That's a lot of gold. That's one thing. And somebody in the back there? What's the other? Yeah, you.
It also made everyone who was near it very less hungry.
Healthy, yes. And no disturbances from nature, no irregularities in nature. That's very important with the next part, the next chapter. And I'll give you a sneak preview of the next chapter after we finish this chapter. Okay. So, then what happened? Then what happened? Okay.
He was so happy, so he wanted to show off.
He wanted to show off.
He wanted to show off in Dwarka, so he was on his horse, and then he was riding. Then everyone was seeing the Shyamantaka jewel, but they were thinking Satyajit was the sun god who was visiting Krishna.
Yeah.
Wanted to visit Krishna.
So he went. Shown off his jewel. And he was so proud. Then he went right past Krishna's palace and didn't even say Hari Bol. He was attached and he was proud. So then what happened? Next to you?
He took it to the temple.
No, before that, there's some exchange with the residents of Dwarka.
Oh, the residents of Dwarka went to Krishna and said, the sun god has come to pay homage to you.
Yeah, very good. You're paying careful attention. And what did Krishna say?
Krishna said, it is not the sun god, it is Satrajit.
It's Satrajit, yeah. And he says, and the glowing is the jewel that he's wearing. Okay, so then what happened?
Satyajit rushed over to the temple to do the installation of his jewel.
Yeah.
But he was so proud and so much into the
thought that he was going to get 170,000 pounds of gold every day.
170, yeah.
170, yeah. He forgot to invite the Lord Krishna to get his blessings.
It was an insult. It was at least not necessarily an intentional insult, but it was insulting to Krishna. He invited all the... It's something like... Put your hand down. Put your hand down. Thank you. It's something like Daksha. He had a big yagya and he invited everybody except Lord Shiva. And it was purposeful. It was insulting to Lord Shiva. That's what he wanted to do. So he insulted Lord Shiva. So Satrajit did the same thing. And then what happened? Okay, Mr. Enthusiastic, go ahead. Then what happened?
After they worshipped this jewel...
What happened? You forgot.
No, I'm just thinking. Still thinking.
Okay.
Satyajit gave him to his brother...
No, something before that. Something before that. Here's the something before that. Who's going to say? It's right there. Give it to this girl at the end.
Like, Krishna asked Satyajit to give that Samantaka jewel to Agrasena, but Satyajit refused to give.
Yeah. And we heard your realization was, or the lesson learned is, if there's something very valuable, it's to be given to the king. Such extremely valuable thing. It should go into the royal treasury. But Satrajit refused. Now, Krishna didn't want the Shamantaka jewel for himself. Really what Krishna wanted was to free Satrajit from his pride. Because he had this valuable thing, he was so proud. So it was to relieve him of that pride. But he was attached. So he couldn't let go of the jewel. And then... Go ahead. No, right here. You haven't spoken yet. Go ahead. Yes, you. I don't know your names. Okay, Kripa.
One day, Prasena...
Prasena. Okay.
Satyajit's brother, he wore the Samantaka jewel while he went to hunt in the forest. And so a lion was watching him on a mountain above the road. And so he killed Prasena and his horse.
And took the jewel. Yes, sir. Mr. Enthusiastic, your turn.
Thinking that... He was the king of the jungle. He went into a cave that was actually Jambaba's home.
Yeah.
And then he roared.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. And then Jambaba was so start.
He came to protect his family.
Then he. When he saw the lion, he asked him, "Why did you come to my home?"
Okay. You want to take the microphone from him?
No, he's just
doing it. Go right ahead. You're next. Then what happened?
Then what happened is the lion said that, I'm the king of the jungle. Everything belongs to me.
And Jambavan said...
And then Jambavan said that...
You're a fool.
You're the fool, and then you don't know...
Everything belongs to...
The Lord.
The Supreme Lord. Personality of Godhead. You better get out of this cave right now.
And then
there was a big battle.
But
the battle didn't last very long. Jambavan just won.
Fist.
With his fist. He was finished. Won. And then he took the lion, put the lion outside the cave, Put your hands down. I didn't stand. Calm down here. So there's an important lesson. Satrajit was attached to the jewel, and Jambavan wasn't attached to the jewel. Why wasn't Jambavan attached to the jewel? Yeah, he was attached to Lord Ramachandra. And those who are attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't see these jewels and things of this world to be something to get all excited about. So he just took the jewel and gave it to his son to play with. Here, have a little toy to play with. Meanwhile, back in Dwarka. This is a nice lesson. Even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anybody here the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I don't think so. Even if you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of us? Sometimes, people say things that are just not true. And it's cruel, and it hurts, and why do people do that? So even to the Personality of Godhead, it can happen, so it can happen to any one of us. That's one lesson. And then, because that's what Satrajit did, he went, pss, 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 pss. So what did Krishna do? I'm going to supply the answer. You can put your hand down. This is the lesson. Stated very simply, you stand by the truth. Krishna didn't say, oh yeah, well let me make a rumor about you. Or, it's not true. Why are you speaking like this? You're mean. I don't like you. Krishna didn't do any of those things. Krishna just stood by the truth. And how did he do that? He took some elders, some well-respected senior elderly members of Dwarka with him to go find the jewel. Because Satrajit was saying, Krishna killed Prasena and took the jewel. That's pretty heavy, you know, accused thief and murderer. I mean, we're accused of things sometimes, but not those things. I hope not, anyway. But something that's not true. Just stand by the truth. So he went, they found the horse, they found Prasena, they found the dead lion. And just outside the cave, now, Krishna, he's already knowing everything. But he spoke to the others inductively, he used his reasoning faculty and said, this must be Jambavan's cave. I don't know how you inductively figure out it must be Jambavan's cave, but it must be Jambavan's cave. And I'm going to go inside. So what did the residents of Dwarka say to Krishna? Who can remember that one? Yes.
They said, it's like so dark. Why don't we go back to Dwarka and get some torches?
Very good. And Krishna said?
And he said, that is not necessary. I will go into the cave alone.
And you have a very good memory.
Thank you.
Do you know something? It says in Nectar of Devotion that one of the signs of intelligence is a good memory. So that's a double compliment. You have a good memory. That means you were paying attention. That's one of the things it also means. Okay, so Krishna said, "I'll you just wait here. I'll go inside. I'll go alone. Don't worry. I'll come out as soon as I found the Jamataka jewel." How long did it last, that battle go on before the residents of Dwarka, day and night and night and day, waited for Krishna, and Krishna didn't come? How many days was it?
28.
No, it was 12. They went back to Dwarka after 12 days. The battle went on for 28 days. Sorry to disappoint you. But you have to listen carefully to the question. You probably knew the answer. The question was, how many days did they wait before they went back to Dwarka? 12. And then when they went back to Dwarka, they told Ugrasena and the resident of Dwarka what they had seen. Prasena, the dead horse, the lion. Krishna went into the cave, but he didn't come out. So at least they knew that Krishna's name was cleared. He wasn't the one that killed Prasena. It was the lion. But just to get the Jamataka jewel, that's what they're waiting for. So many days passed. Meanwhile, this is another important lesson. Somebody already captured it. Jambavan was a great devotee. Exceptionally great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now there he is, face to face with the Supreme Lord. But he didn't even recognize him. Why didn't he recognize him?
Because he was angry.
And why was he angry?
He thought that Krishna was a thief.
He was attached to the body. He was thinking, my family. He wasn't thinking Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord, who my family members are serving. He was just thinking, my family. He forgot. And therefore, he got moved by that mode of passion, and following the mode of passion comes anger. Kamesha, Krodesha. Even a great devotee, that can happen. So don't forget Krishna. Do you ever forget Krishna? Sometimes. Some of you know Giriraj Maharaj. One time in Bombay, he told the story that Prabhupada, in the presence of all the devotees, Prabhupada's under the Yasasan, then he asked Giriraj Maharaj to give the class. So he was in front of Prabhupada, I'm supposed to give the class. But Prabhupada wanted to do it, so he began speaking, he was describing something, and he said, you know, and then I fell into Maya. And Prabhupada stopped him and said, and then you fell into Maya. He said, you're always in Maya. Sometimes you think of Krishna. So like that. Sometimes we think of Krishna. But Jambavan was a pure devotee. But because of attachment, the family members are to be protected by the father, but not to the degree that one becomes so attached that you lose it in anger. Somebody was asking, where was this? A child was asking, what do you do if someone holds a gun at you? What do you do? Was that somewhere here? Okay. So, one of the stories that I narrated was George Harrison, not an initiated devotee, but very devoted. Actually, he asked Prabhupada if Prabhupada would give him initiation. And Prabhupada said, it's better if you just continue in the way that you can help spread Krishna consciousness just from doing what you're doing. Now, Prabhupada could have initiated him also. But anyway, for whatever the reason, Prabhupada said, just continue. So he did. He was actually a very devoted individual. And proof of that is when there was some danger in his house, there was a burglar that somehow broke into the house. And it was the dead of night, and he was asleep in his room, bedroom, with his wife, and he heard the noise downstairs. So he came to the top of the stairs, and he saw the burglar. And what did he do? He started, at the top of his lungs, calling out Krishna's name, chanting the Maha Mantra. He told about it later in a news media report. And, you know, the man ran and got a knife and started running up the stairs. And George Harrison ran down the stairs chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And, you know, the tussle between the two, and the man left the house, ran from the house. He took shelter of Krishna in a position of danger. Certainly he was concerned about the protection of his wife, as anyone would be concerned about the protection of their family members. That's natural. But attachment so much that you get blinded. You can't, even your devotee, even your pure, great devotee, can't think of Krishna. So this battle between the two, 28 days and nights. Now how strong is Jambavan? One, and he killed a lion. Just one. And here 28 days of clubs and rocks and trees and fists, and he was getting worn out. And then with that he realized, this isn't an ordinary person. This is the personality of Godhead. Nobody is as strong as he is. It must be the personality of Godhead. It's something like in Chaitanya Lila, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized that Lord Chaitanya was the personality of God, because his skill was his intellectual prowess. He was super scholar. The super scholar was defeating him left and right. The personality of Godhead can do that only. He realized Lord Chaitanya's identity through that medium. Same Jambavan. Krishna wanted a nice tussle with his devotee, so Jambavan gave that service. But if he had thought it was Krishna, he wouldn't have done that. So then he submitted to Krishna, and Krishna, just by touching his shoulders and rubbing his body, all of his fatigue was relieved. And Jambavan then gave the jewel, and his jewel-like daughter, whose name is Jambavati. Jambavati is one of, we say, Krishna married 16,108 queens. So those eight queens, because the 16,100 were all married at once, that's a whole other story. The princesses that were kidnapped by who? Who knows the story? What's the answer?
Narakasura.
Narakasura, very good. So the other eight, two of them get married to Krishna during this same pastime. So Krishna with Jambavati goes back to Dwaraka. He returns the Shamataka jewel in a public assembly to King Satrajit. Here's your jewel. Tells the whole story of how Prasena was killed by the lion, not by me. And Satrajit had a problem. His first consideration was, I made a big offense. His second consideration was, all of the residents of Dwaraka, they're going to be really upset with me. I better watch my backside. Going to have a problem. I better do something to get my backside protected. That was his motivation. Not anything spiritual, just protecting his backside. So he then reasoned, I have to do something that's really big to make up for this big mistake, big offense. So he gave the jewel and his daughter. And at the end, Krishna accepted the daughter but gave back the jewel. And why did he give back the jewel? Why did...
Because he knew that Satyajit still had an attachment for the jewel.
He didn't really want to give the jewel. He didn't really want to give the jewel. So Krishna doesn't need to accept things from people that don't really want to give those things. But if somebody really wants to give those things, Krishna can accept. So we better be careful when we give things to Krishna, what's in our heart, because maybe Krishna won't accept. Even if it's something nice, but if it's given begrudgingly, this is described in Bhagavad Gita, sacrifice that's given begrudgingly, or charity given begrudgingly, or given with some calculation, I'll give this, I get that. That's not motive goodness. Motive goodness is for my purification, for the pleasure of the personality of Godhead is transcendental. That was Jambavan's gift, but not Satrajit's gift. And it later came back to cause him a problem. But it's already almost 9 o'clock, and that's another problem. Because I have an early flight tomorrow morning, and so I don't know about telling you part two of this story. But maybe next time when I come back, we can get together and I can tell you part two. What happened after that? You have a doing some exercises. Okay, yes, what is it? Here's the microphone.
There's another story behind Jabba's fight.
Okay.
Yeah, because when Rama killed Ravana, Jambavan wanted to see how powerful Lord Ram was.
Yeah.
So, and Ram said, sure. And then that's why Jambavan fought with Krishna.
Oh, where'd you hear that one?
I heard that.
Chitra Comics?
I heard it in some CDs.
Huh?
I heard it in some CDs.
Oh, okay. Got to be careful where you're hearing from. That's one thing. Yes?
The story after that is like Shatadanva, he kills the Satrajit. So,
did you read this story?
Yeah.
How many amongst the children, how many of you read that story that follows this one? Wow. You guys are good. So, next time, you remind me, next time, we'll go through the whole story, and we'll go to the next one after that, too. And I have some nice pictures that go with that story. Okay? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.